Doctor Who, The King's Dragon by Una McCormack, read by Nicholas Briggs. Woe for that man who in harm and hatred hails his soul to fiery embraces, nor favour nor change awaits he ever. From Beowulf, translated by Francis B. Gummery. They came only at night. They crept around the dark places, the hidden places, the poor and lonely places. It was said in the city that you could tell when they approached. First your skin began to prickle, and then a sickening cold fear lodged itself in your belly, which rose and rose, up and up, until you could not speak, and you could not breathe, and the lamp that you were carrying couldn't bear it any longer, and went out. And then the shadows grew thick and dark, and you could no longer see round the bend in the alley or the curve in the road. You could not see the peril that was lurking ahead, but it was there, and it lingered. That's what was said. But when you asked the tale-bearer if he or she had seen these things themselves, "Not I," was the answer. But a cousin or a cousin's friend had heard the tale from someone else. A reputable source, mind you. My cousin is not one for telling tales. And you would shake your head politely and reply, "No, no, of course." But privately you would dismiss the story again and return to your business. For business was booming these days in Gyath. All was well now that the city had its new young king. Still, you might think, as you locked the doors, front and back, and you sealed up the windows, it was strange how empty the streets became after dusk. It was strange, too, how we all bolted our doors and our windows these days. And each night, someone scurrying down a narrow alley or across a deserted plaza, on some business that sadly could not wait till the morning, would fancy that they could see shadows moving ahead. Moving without any wind behind them, this summer being a hot one. And some people, the most fanciful, surely, and the least trustworthy, would add a little colour to their tale. For the best of us cannot resist a little colour. There was a strange noise, they said, like the growl of a wild beast, and some would swear that on the wall of the passage curving ahead they had seen the long shadow of a hand or a claw stretching out. And the funny thing was, they would say, that this hand had too many fingers. Chapter 1. "I don't know why I assumed an alien planet would be in the future," Amy said, "but it did. Flying cars, rockets." "Food in pills," Rory said. "Food in pills, yes, but it's not like that at all. It's more..."
"Oldie-worldy," Rory offered.
"Oldie-worldy," Amy agreed, "but not retro." They were standing by the side of the road, an oldie-worldy road, without flagstones and with mud. A few metres ahead of them, the doctor stood with one thumb stuck out, his face screwed up in concentration. He was staring at a horse and cart that, for the past 5 minutes, had been making steady progress down the track towards them. The driver's attention, however, was focused no further forwards than the ears of his horse.
"If I'm being honest," Rory said, "I didn't expect horses. Is there any particular reason to expect horses? On an alien planet, I mean? Or have I missed something?"
Amy gave it a couple of moments' thought. "I don't think you've missed anything." The front of the cart was now almost level with the doctor. He stuck his thumb out further. The universe's most intense hitchhiker. Slowly, ever so slowly, the cart rolled past.
"Sample complete. Ready to continue?"